Today's shir is Masechta Bechairis Daf Yud Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph on the second line. Rochash Yoldim and Ace. So as we learned in the previous shir, the second part of our Mishnah discussed the situation where a sheep has a child that looks like a goat, or vice versa, a goat had a child that looked like a sheep. And the Mishnah taught us that if there's no resemblance between the mother and the child, there is no chiyah b'chayra. If there is some resemblance, there is a chiyah b'chayra. Says the Gemara, Asra Rav Oshim in Hadar. Rav Oshim came from Hadar, Vaisa Masnisa B'yodah, and he came teaching us a braisa. The braisa says that a rachel bas eis, or eis bas rachel, a sheep whose mother looks like a goat, or vice versa. Ramei Mechayiv, Ramei says it's Chayiv and Chaman Paitrim. Those are the words of the Braisa. Says the Gemara, Omlei Rav Oshia L'Rava, so Rav Oshia told Rava, Kayalot L'Kameid Rav Huna, when you meet Rav Huna, I'd like you to ask of him, Boy Minei, Ramei Mechayiv. When this Braisa says Ramei says it's Chayiv, the Chum say it's Potter, what halachic issue are they discussing? Lamai. What issue are they discussing? Ask the Gemara, Ilayim al-Bechayra. For if you'll assume that they're speaking about the Chiyah Bechayra, ask them of a less Leila Rameya. Doesn't Rameya agree with what we've learned so many times in Am Sechter? That the Torah Akdoisha says, Ach Becha Shor, that the halacha is, Ache Hu Shor, U Bechayra Shor. In order for there to be a chiyah b'chayra, the mother and the offspring have to look the same. So how can Rameya say that there's no chiyah? Says the Gemara, what he means to address is Reishis HaGeis. That we learned in Masech Techulin, that the Torah tells us that the first shearing of the wool from an animal every year has to be given to the Kohen as one of the Matnas Kohuna. And Rameyer is saying that when we have a situation where a sheep has a baby that looks like a goat, there is a chiv of Reishis HaGeis. Ask the Gemara, is that true? For Lesle Hadatan de Rabbi Shmuel, does not Rameyer agree with what Rabbi Shmuel taught us when we learned Masech Techulin? That the halacha is kvasim shetzimran kasha. If you have a goat that has hard wool, hard hair, p'turim reishis hageis, there is no chiv reishis hageis. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Eiv, umegeis kifsei yischamam. The pasuk over there is saying how Eiv says that he did the right thing, and one of the right things that he did was that he took care of people. And therefore it says that he gave people who needed warm clothing, wool, to make clothing from. And it says wool is made from sheep, not from goat. So how can we say that if we'll have a situation that there's a sheep that has a child that looks like a goat and has hair like a goat, Ramei should say there's a chiv reishis hageis. That wool is not really usable for clothing. And as the Mefarshim point out, even though normally we don't learn halacha from Psukim and Nach, the point of this Gemara is not to teach us a halacha. The point of this Gemara is to teach us what hair of an animal is usable for clothing and which is not usable for clothing. And the Gemara is saying that only sheep's wool is, not goat wool. Furthermore, the Brisk Rav makes a very interesting observation. He says, although the Gemara says that there should be no question and that everybody agrees that if a sheep had a child that looked like a goat, the hair of that goat is not mechuyev and reishis hageis, what about the other situation? If a goat had a child that looked like a sheep, would there be a chiv reishis hageis? He says, absolutely. He says, because the truth of the matter is, he says, goats really should be mechuyev and reishis hageis. Why are they not mechuyev and reishis hageis? Because the wool is useless. But now if you have useful wool, everybody will agree that there is a chiv reishis hageis. So we're back to where we started. We started the Gemara with a machloikus or a mei and the chachamim, but we don't know what subject they're discussing. Amalei, Nechsi Anan. Let's try to understand what they're talking about, says the Gemara. Suggests the Gemara, Hachem Ma'iskina. We're referring to a situation. Baracha Shialdim an Eis. The mother's a sheep. The father is a goat. And the child looks like a goat. And the father looks like a goat. Or B'chayshin Lezera Av Linyan Eis Vespinoi Kmefkin. Again, when we learned Masechta Chulin, we had a parak that discussed the halach of Eis Vespinoi. Torah Kedosha says, Oysaves Benoi, Loisish Chatu B'yoy Mechad, you can't shecht a parent, a mother, and his child on the same day. And the question here is, what is going to be a halacha where the mother looks like a sheep, the child looks like a sheep, but the child looks like a goat, and the father is a goat. So, before we start discussing the opinion of Rameya, what will be the opinion of the Chachamim? Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that in this case, there's no Eis Vespinoi. Why? Because the Chacham's opinion, as we'll see in a moment, is that the father doesn't count, and the mother doesn't look like the child. And therefore, the din of Eis Vespinoi doesn't apply. That's what some Rishonim suggest. Other Rishonim say, the halach of Eis Vespinoi, that a mother and a child can't be slaughtered on the same day, has nothing to do if they look the same or not. And the Chacham will certainly agree that the Chiyuv Eis Vespinoi still continues on the mother and the child. The father and the child look the same. They both are goats. And the question is, the question is there a din of Eis Vespinoi in this situation? And since the father and the child look the same, there's going to be Eis Vespinoi. And again, most Rishonim say that once there's Eis Vespinoi, according to Rameh, on the father, that looks the same as the son, there'll also be Eis Vespinoi on the mother, because she's the mother. Rabbanim Savri, Ein Choshen Lezerav, and I said what Machlokes Rishonim, what the Rabbanim will hold regarding the mother. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're interpreting this Machlokes or Rameh and the Chachomim, so why do we have to, why need for this entire case. Liflug b'choshen l'zera'av b'alma. We could speak about the case of choshen l'zera'av as we did in Masechta Chulin, b'plukta v'chananya v'rabbanan, that we learned the machlokes chananya rabbanan, if the din of Eis Vespinoi applies to the father. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though the Gemara and the Havamin assumed that this is a unique situation because the child looks like the father and not like the mother, at the end of the day, the issue is, do we consider the father or do we not consider the father, which is an issue that was well discussed in the Machlokes of Chananya Rabbanan. So we're still where we started. What does Ramey say Chayiv and the Chum say Poitrim? Ella says the Gemara Oyn LeBechayra. We go back to the beginning. That the Machlokes does refer to the subject of Bechayra. V'achem Ma'iskinen, what is the case that we are discussing? For Rachel Bas Eis. Interesting situation. The child looks like a sheep. The mother looks like a sheep, but the grandmother was a goat. And what is the machloikis of Ramei and the Chachamim? Masava Zilbasime. Let's look at this scenario. The mother and the child look the same. What is the definition of Nidma, that we always use the word mutant? When is there a mutation? When the child doesn't look like its mother. Here it looks like its mother. Zilbasime. And therefore it's perfectly chayiv and b'chayra. You can't ignore the entire yichas here. And the yichas here is that the grandmother was a goat, and this is a sheep. Yes, the mother also looks like a sheep, and therefore it's in the category of a nidma. Says the Sfasemis, that even though the Gemara is saying now that this is the case, and we're going to have a very similar case in a moment, another interpretation, the Ramei says it's a chayiv b'chayra, it's not to be understood, says the Sfasemis, the Ramei says, Chai B'chayr, you could bring it as a carbon. If you have a situation where the mother and the daughter indeed both look like sheep, but the grandmother was a goat, even Ramei will agree that you don't put that on the Mizbeach. Ramei says, Chai B'chayr, you have to give it to the Kayin. The Chum say there's no Chai B'chayr at all, you don't have to give it to the Kayin. V'ibay Seima, another way that perhaps the Gemara suggests we should interpret this Machlokes Ramei and the Chachamim, is B'rochel Bas Eiz Bas Rochel. The child is a sheep, her mother is a goat, but her grandmother was a sheep. Masava, Chazra, Shayis L'mekayimam, that since the real family here is sheep, that's what the grandmother was and the great-grandmother was, that's why Ramey considers them sheep, and there's no mutation here, and there's a chi b'chayr, at least as much to give to the kayin. Since the mother looks like different than the child, this is a nitma. Ravashi Yomer, Ravashi has a different way of interpreting the machlokes of Ramey and the Chachamim. It goes back to an issue that we discussed early in the Masechta. Kigan Shesh by Mixa Simonim. There's a somewhat of resemblance between the child and its mother, but not a strong resemblance. Oman Chachamim, and when we have the Chachamim that we began our shiur with saying that there is no Chi B'chayri here, it's actually the opinion of Rav Shimon, Damar, that we learned earlier in our Masechta, that Rav Shimon's opinion is there's only Chi B'chayra at Shei Rosh V'Riba Dimil Ima. It has to be a strong resemblance. So Meir says that a minimal resemblance is enough. The Chum holds you have to have a strong resemblance. Says the Gemara. And the way the Mefarshim explained, Rabbi Yochanan is going back to the Terutzim, the two middle Terutzim. The Terutzim that we speak about where the mother, it looks like the mother but not like the grandmother, or looks like the grandmother, not like the mother. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Maidu Ramei B'Seir Shal Rosh Chodesh. When we speak about the Seir Shal Rosh Chodesh, the Be'inin Ben Seira. That for it to be kosher for the sawyer, we know Rosh Chodesh, they had to bring a carbon musaf from a he-goat, from a male goat. It had to be a perfect yichus. My tama, omakra, echad hamiyuchad abom sheish shimei bereishis. It has to have a perfect yichus. And Tosfos says that this is not only the din of Rosh Chodesh, it's the din on all the regalim that the carbon brought had to have a perfect yichus. So I saw a beautiful vart. Throughout Shas, we speak about Roiv. Roiv is an important concept that we discuss in Shas. And the Gemara always wants to, we'll have it in Gemara's, in the coming Dafim, when we rely on Roiv, when we don't rely on Roiv, what is the source that we could rely on Roiv? So I sort of first ask, why isn't this Gemara a great proof that we follow Roiv? Let's think about it. We have an animal. Now, we have a hard enough time knowing the yichus of people. Knowing the yichus of an animal is very difficult. Yet the Gemara is teaching us, and there's no machlokes on this din, that the animal used on Rosh Chodesh, for Musaf Rosh Chodesh, has to have a perfect yichus. How do we know the yichus of an animal? The answer is we rely on Roif. And most animals, if it's a sar, its mother was a sar, and its grandmother was a sar, and the great-grandma. So we have a right that we rely on Roif. So this should be the makar for Roif. Why do we have to find other makaris, other sources? So the Farshim say a very important point. They say when we think about roiv, there are two types of roiv. There's a roiv that is a metzias. There's a roiv that's the way the world works. When you see a sawyer, you could safely assume that it comes from a yichus of seirim. Then there's a roiv, which I would call a halachic roiv. If you find a piece of meat in the street, where did that meat come from? If you have a bezdin and you have to follow the majority, that's a halachic roiv. Those are very different roivs. Yes, this could prove that we could rely on roiv that is the way the world works, but that has nothing to do with the halachic roiv. And they say a very interesting proof to this. There's an interesting halacha. The halacha is that when somebody's davening Shmon Esrei, you're not allowed to move. And the Gemara says, Afilu nochesh korach ala kevav. It's a Gemara Masechta Brachos, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Even if a snake's going up your leg, you just keep on davening. So all the Mefarshim ask, we know, the Bekuach Nefesh is Dachat Kol HaTorah Kula. So you got a snake going up your leg, so you just have to continue davening Shmoneh Esrei. The answer is that most snakes, obviously that's the variety that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, don't bite. And therefore you could continue davening. Where do we see that you can rely on such a roif? The answer is from here. Continues the Gemara. V'homa hocha nafka. Is this the source for the halacha that this carbon has to come from an animal that has a correct yichus? Mahasim nafka. There's a pasuk that says, Shar oikesev o'ez ki volid. V'hoi tachzim ha'shil shamim. And then you should bring it as a carbon. So the pasuk says the word oi twice. Sharei kesev ha'ois. The oi comes to teach us prat l'klayim, that an animal that's born of klayim may not be used as a carbon, because as the Mefarshim explained, the Torah could have used the word shar v'chesev. We know the word, the letter vav also means or. Why did the Torah choose to use the word versus a letter? So it teaches prat l'klayim. Ayez, prat l'nidma. So we already know from there that you can't use an animal that doesn't have a perfect yichus. Answers the Gemara. Itzricha. We need the pasuk of a soyer echad, and we need this pasuk as well. Why? Dima hasam, if we only had that pasuk, ha min ahena mila hecha de nachas l'daira. Aval hecha de nachas l'daira. Emaloi. Maybe when is there an issue? Only if it's not like its mother. But if we have a situation that the animal looks like its mother, even though in the previous generations it's different than the previous generations, that shouldn't bother us. That's what the Torah has to teach us, that even if it's not similar to previous generations, we have an issue. Viva hacha, if we only had this pasuk, have min al karb mechoiva. By karb mechoiva, there's a din that it has to have a proper yichus. Avul and davaloi. When we speak about karb and davar, the halacha is that you could bring any type of animal, tzricha. And there's a very big machlokes achrayim. What does the Gemara mean when it disqualifies an animal that doesn't have a perfect yichus? Some achrayim say that based on this point of the maskana of the Gemara, for any carbon that's brought, you cannot use an animal that doesn't have a perfect yichus. Other achrayim disagree. We're only speaking about either a carbon chayva or a nidvas tzibur. But a carbon nedava that you bring privately, that the halach would be, you could bring an animal that doesn't have a perfect yichus. Continues the Gemara. Amar of Achab Yaakov, hakel moidim, dan loikim al tzimri mishim klayim. Everybody agrees, says the Gemara, that if you'll have the wool of this animal, there is no problem of klayim. We know that shatnas means when you mix wool and linen. The wool of an animal who doesn't look like its mother, that wool doesn't have a chiyuv klayim. Shenema, because what is klayim? Leisil b'shatnas tzemer u'pishtin yachtof. So we learn the halacha of the tzemer from the halacha of the pishtin. Ma pishtin shlo nishtana. The Gemara says flax, linen, can't be changed. Af tzemer shlo nishtana. So Gemara is saying here, gevalde gechiddush, that the wool of an animal that's a nidma doesn't have a chiyuv klayim. And there's a very big machlokes rishonim. That's a fascinating machlokes that has a lot of applications. When the Gemara says there's no chiyuv klayim, what does the Gemara mean? Does the Gemara mean that midaraisa there's no klayim on this type of wool? That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam agrees that midrabanan you couldn't use this wool to make a suit with linen because of the problem of marasayin. Because nobody knows that the wool that you is using is from this unique animal. But the Rambam holds that's only a drabanan because of marasayin. Other rishonim, and this is the way the Gro Paskins hold that it's not an Isser Chiv Malkus, but there is an Isser Daraisa. And the Mefarshim used this Gemara to discuss a very interesting question. We all know that the halacha is that Esse Daichalaisa say. Esse Daichalaisa say. What's the Raya? Gemara Mesech the Yavamis, but it's mentioned in a lot of other places in Shas, that Esse Daichalaisa say. The halacha is you can wear tzitzis. That is shatnas. The mitzvah of tzitzis is doicha, the loisasei of shatnas. So ask the Mefarshim, if the halacha is that you can wear wool from a nidma, that there's no shatnas midaraisa, as the Rambam holds, how does the Gemara always say that tzitzis is a raya, that esay doicha loisasei, make your tzitzis out of wool, out of this type of wool. And you can have your tzitzis, and not have to have, as the Deichalaisa say. Is a raya, that the Gro is right, that you're still going to have shatnas with the raisa, and it's right, as the Deichalaisa say. It isn't perfect. I'll tell you why it isn't perfect. Because even if you're going to agree with the Gro agrees that this isn't the regular Laisa say. It's a Laisa say that you don't get Malkus. The Gemara says it explicitly. So if it's a Laisa say you don't get Malkus, so how can you use tzitzis as the source for Esed Daichalaisa say, where this is a Laisa say, which is a weaker Laisa say than all other Laisa says. But there's an interesting question that the Shagas Arya asks. The Shagas Arya asks, do we also know that the Avnate that the Kohen wore was also made out of Shatnas? asked the Shalkes Arya, that again, the Torah teaches us that the Kohen has a dispensation that he can wear an avnet made out of shatnez while he's doing the avodah. Ask the Shalkes Arya, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to learn Masechet Nida. And we know that the halach is the Yoledes has to bring kabonis. And there's a lot of discussion in the Gemara there about what is the halacha when you have a situation where you're not quite certain if there was a baby born. And you bring a chatas oif, but if you brought out sofik, the kohen brings the chatas oif, you'll go through the whole procedure, otherwise the woman won't be completely tahar, she won't be able to eat kodesh or go into the Beis HaMikdash, but you can't eat that chatas. The question asked the Shalkes Arya, when you're doing an avoida to the kohen gadol, is a lot of weird shatness. The kohen is a lot of weird shatness. But here it's a sofik avoida. So what gives you the right to wear the avnet on a sofik? Shalkes Arya is a kasha. Answers the Menachos Chinuch, I have an answer. This Gemara. The Menachos Chinuch says, you'll make an avnet out of wool that comes from such an animal. So it's not shatness. And you'll have no problem. You can wear, the kohen can wear an avnet on one hand, and on the other hand, not be over the avera shatness. Ask the Menachos Chinuch on himself, if my solution is such a great solution, so why only the avnet that the kohen's wearing when he brings the suffix? Every avnet should be that way. So the Menachos Chinuch gives an interesting teretz. He says there isn't enough wool to be found from animals that have this unique situation that it's not the same as its mother. To find a little wool, fine. But you need, every kohen had to have an avnet. You're not going to have enough wool. But the truth of the matter is, Rabbi Yosef in his Sefer has a very interesting perspective to this entire Machloikas Rishonim, which makes the Shalkes Arya's question a very strong question. And the Menachos Chinuch's teretz is not a good teretz. He says, when we have this Machloikas Rishonim, which I quoted, is there an Isser Daraisa on this Tzemer of Shatnes? That I said, the Rambam says there isn't, other Rishonim say there is. What is the Machloikas all about? So Rabbi Yosef says that the Machloikas is a very fundamental Machloikas. Is this considered wool? The man, the Omer that says that there is no Issa Daraisa, the Rambam that says there's only Issa Marasayin, because he holds that the wool of a Nidme is not considered wool. Whereas the other Rishonim, the Gra, holds that it's considered wool. If that's the case, then the Menachos Chinuch's teretz falls away. Because what's he telling you? To make the avnet out of this, this isn't wool. And the material needed for the avnet is wool. So what's he telling you? Make an avnet with this? You don't have an avnet, because avnet needs wool. And according to those Rishonim, according to the Rambam, this isn't wool altogether. Continues the Gemara. Amar Papa, continues the Gemara. Hakel Mogdim should simmer Pasul Tchelis. Everybody agrees that the wool can't be used for the tchelis in the tzitzis. Shnemar, the Torah says, like suba shatnes, gedilim tasloch. So again, the Torah connects tzitzis to shatnes. Ma pishtin, shloi nishtana, aftzem shloi nishtana. And it's interesting, machlekes achroinim, what does the Gemara mean here? Does the Gemara mean that it's only not kosher for the tchelis, but for the wool threads, for the white threads, you could use it? Or does the Gemara say tchelis, but it really means all the threads? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, furthermore, Hakam Moidim Shein Tzimmer Metam B'Negon. That we notice the parsha of Nigei Begodim, that there's a Negad that forms in a Begad. If there's a Begad made out of wool of this Nidme, there won't be a Din of Negon. Shnema, Bebegad Semer or Bebegad Pishtim. Ma Pishtim Shloi Nishtana, after Semer Shloi Nishtana. Interesting question that the Mepharshim discuss. The halacha is that there is no Din of Nigei Begodim on a wool that was dyed. Because that's called also Nishtana. So now the question that the Mepharshim debate is, what about shatness? We may have here a tremendous kula. That if you ever have tzemer that was colored, which is usually the case, even if it's white, is usually somewhat colored, dyed, it's Nishtana. And if it's Nishtana, the Gemara says, there's no din of shatness. So according to some Mepharshim, we might have eliminated almost all issues of shatnes daraisa. So the Mepharshim said there's a difference between the shinui of nidme and the shinui of coloring. Why? The shinui of nidme is a shinui from when it was born. It was born from an animal that's a nidme, which is not normal. When you dye it, it started off as real wool. You then went and colored it. So that may not be a shinui that the Torah says doesn't have a din of shatness. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, let us make a comment here. Af Ananoimer, we also will make a comment. Hidla Gefna Gabateina. What would be the halacha if somebody put a grape tree over a fig tree? The halacha is Yaina Pasul Nesachim. So now the grapes absorb some of the aroma of the fig, and the halacha, that grape can't be used for the Nesachim. Ma Tama, Zavach Nesachim. Ma Zavach has to be a car animal that we're learning in our Gemara that can't be a Nidme. The animal, if it has any mutation, can't be used as a carbon. Af Nesachim Shleinishtanu. Says the Rosh, this is the source for a halacha that people are, that there's interesting chumra. He says that you should not use Yayin Mavushal for Kiddush. Why? Because what does Yayin Mavushal mean? It was Nishtana. It's not the way it was. The cooking changes it. And our Gemara is saying that for Nesachim, such Yayin is disqualified, so maybe disqualified for Kiddush as well. And that's why the Rosh says that you shouldn't use Yayin Mavushal for Kiddush. Interesting shaila the Bach discusses. What happens, he asks, if you have a grape, if you have an estric tree growing next to another tree, and the aroma of that fruit goes into your estric, will that estric be possible? Says that estric is fine. So if you have an estric that smells like a different fruit because a different fruit grew next to it, that isn't an issue as the kashrus of the estric. Maskla Ravina asked Ravina, if change is such an issue, so then what will be the halacha? He asked, Hidla Pishta Gabihiga, if you have your flax growing next to a bush, Hochinami Dilshtani, does that change the flax? For says Ravina, if that's the case, in Cain, we kept on saying that what is the primary characteristic of Pishton? Is that it never changed? That isn't true. What's the Amr Ma Pishton Shloi Nishtana? We can't make a statement. The Gemara can't repeat, keep on making statement that linen never changes. Because we just came up with a situation that Pishton Amr Nishtana, that does change when it grows next to something else. Amr Zeh Nishtana Recha Vezeh Lo Nishtana Recha. The Rishonim have two ways of explaining. One way of explaining, the simple way of explaining it is, that even when linen grows next to something else, the characteristic of linen is that it doesn't change its aroma. Or others say, because it does, but that isn't considered significant, that it should be considered nishtana. Says the Mishnah, Rachel Shabloi Bikra. You have here a sheep that never had a child before. V'yaldu shnei zecharim, it has twins. V'yatsu shnei rishayim ka'achas, and these two twins were born at the exact same moment. Rav Yosef Glili Shneim L'Koyim. Rav Yosef Glili says that both of these are considered Bechor. Shenemar, Hezecharim L'Hashem. And as we've mentioned, and we're going to begin now, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach T'Sugya, Rav Yosef Glili's opinion is Efshla Tzamtzim. It's possible for two things to happen, for the two children to come up mamish at the same moment, simultaneously, and therefore they're both Bechorim. Bechorim is the opinion of the Chachamim, the Efshla Tzamtzim. That two things, one is a Bechor, one isn't. But in the opinion of the Chacham, continues the Mishnah, there's a Machloikis. El Echad Lo Ve'echad L'Koyim. One is a Bechor, and one isn't. Says of Tarfin, HaKoyim Lo Bari Lo Yisayofa. So as we'll see, the Gemara says, tomorrow Shir, Rav Tarfin says, what does that mean? We have these two animals here. We have these two animals, and what we don't know which one is the Bechor, which one is not. So Rav Tarfin's opinion is, that we give the better one, we assume that the healthier one is the Bechor, and that's the one that the Kohen gets, and the other one the owner keeps. We're going to see, again, in the Gemara, a number of issues, what is Meshamna B'Neim? But Pashu Pshat means is that we look at the two animals, and the Kohen, and the Yisrael keeps the better one, Hamartz Mechaver Olav Araya, V'Sheni Yiret Shistav, which means as follows. Let's think about the situation. Certainly according to Bekiva. Rabbi Kiva is employing the concept that we discussed so many times in this Masechta, Hamatz Mechaver Olav Araya. So you have two animals here. I don't know which one is the Bechor, which is not. So I keep one, whichever one I want, and and I give the other one to the Kohen. But do we know for sure that we made the right division? Do we know that the one I kept is really not the Bechor, and the one that we gave to the Kohen is really the Bechor? We don't know that for sure. And therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, because we have the Suffolk, we have to do a number of things. I can't use this animal until it becomes Bamum. Because until it's Bamum, it belongs on the Mizbeach. And if it may, there's a chance that it's the Bechor, and I'm using an animal that belongs to the Mizbeach for my personal use, so I have to let it become Bamum. Furthermore, for Chai B'Matanis, because it may be, and tomorrow we'll discuss this more, but it may be it may not be a Bechor. And if it's not a Bechor, I'm a Chuyv to give Matanis. Similarly, even though the Mishnah doesn't say it, say all the Rishonim, the Kohen who gets an animal according to Bekiva also has to wait till that animal becomes a Bamum. Why? Because let's think about it. The Kohen doesn't know the status of this animal because it may be a Bechor and then it belongs on the Mizbeach, but it may not be a Bechor. And since it's not a Bechor, then it doesn't belong on the Mizbeach. So what must the Kohen do? The Kohen has to sit with it as well. And in fact, the Rishonim ask, if the Mishnah, if that's the halacha, that not only must the Yisrael wait, but the Kohen must wait as well, why doesn't the Mishnah say it? So they say, because the Mishnah wants to talk about the Matanis, and the Matanis only apply to the Yisrael, that's why it speaks from the perspective of the Yisrael, not from the perspective of the Kohen. Another tarot says that the Mishnah is referring to a time where there were no kabbanis anyway, so that there is the Kohen had to wait anyway, because there was never an option to put it on the Mizbeach. But that is another interesting question. We've explained the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah has explained it. We just amplified. What's Rabbi Tarfon going to hold? Will Rabbi Tarfon say, again, how do we explain the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon? That we give the better one to the Kohen, because we make an assumption that the better one is the Bechor. So how far do we take Rabbi Tarfon's opinion? Is Rabbi Tarfon certain about that? If Rabbi Tarfon is certain about that, then the Kohen could put that animal on the Mizbeach, and the Yisrael could use his animal. That's one approach in the Mefarshim. Another approach is that even though Rabbi Tarfon takes this approach, give the better one to the Kohen, that the other one Yisrael could keep, doesn't mean that he's 100% certain. And he will also agree that Yirach Yistaf. Rabbi Yossi Paiter, Rabbi Yossi will say you don't have to give Matanis. We'll explain in the Gemara why. Continues the Gemara. Meis Echad Mehen. Let's say, again, we have these two animals that were born together, and one of them died. And as the Gemara will tell us in tomorrow's shir, this actually represents that Reb Tarfon is retracting from his opinion. Because how did we explain the opinion of Reb Tarfon? We explained that the opinion of Reb Tarfon is that the better one is certainly the Bechor. So if that's the opinion of Reb Tarfon, so let's see which one died. If the better one died, it's the Kohen's loss. If the weaker one died, it's the Yisrael's loss. That's not what Reb Tarfon says here. Reb Tarfon says, Yechloiku. So obviously he's retracting. The Yisrael could say to the Kohen that I, the one that died, is the one that belonged to you. Zachav in the Keva. Let's say you have a Zachav in the Keva. Ein kan l'Kohen klum. So let's think about this case as well. You have a Zachav in the Keva born together. And in our Mishnah, we've encountered three Tanoim. Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Tarfon. So let's understand this halacha according to every one of their opinions. Rabbi Yosef Aglili is the Mandama, and we're going to go more into this in a moment, that was Efshel Tzamtzum. They came out at the exact same moment. So when you had a boy and a girl that came out at the exact same moment, Rabbi Yosef Aglili is going to hold that the girl, with his Nochi B'chayra, serves as a Chatzitza between her brother and the Rechem, and there won't be a Din of Pet to Rechem, there won't be a B'char at all. Rabbi Akiva is the easiest to understand. He says, Amos M'chaver Al V'raya. So he'll tell the Kohen, the girl was born first. What will Rav Tarfon hold here? Will Rav Tarfon say that we look at the better one? Will Rav Tarfon say we divide? So many Mefarshim say no. They say a beautiful lumdus. Where does Rav Tarfon say that the Kohen gets something? When you have two boys, so the Kohen is certainly deserving of one of them. I just don't know which one. So Rav Tarfon starts, which one should he get? But when you have and that's what Rav Tarfon says his opinion. But when you have a case of a Zachav in the Keva, where there's a possibility that the Kohen is deserving of nothing, because maybe then the Keva came first, there Rav Tarfon will agree that the Kohen has no claim. Stops the Gemara. Amri debei Reb Yanai. Reb Yosef Aglili, Shaminalei. Reb Yosef Aglili's opinion in our Mishnah is very clear that he holds Eshlo Tzamtzim, Bidei Shemayim, something that comes Bidei Shemayim. These two animals could have been born at the exact same moment. The Koshkin, certainly so is the Halacha Bidei Adam. That something that we do, this way Rashi explains, I'll go back to this in a moment. We could have two things happening at the exact same moment. But ask the Gemara, what is the opinion of the Rabbanan? Bidei Shemayim, Yevshel Tzamtzim. It's clear that the Rabbanan hold them Bidei Shemayim, Yevshel Tzamtzim. And that's why the Rabbanan hold when you have these two boys that came out at the exact same moment, they really didn't come at the exact same moment. We don't know which came first, which came second, but they didn't come mamish at the exact same moment. But what is the Halach of Bidei Adamai? So Rashi explains that the Gemara's question is, that maybe something that happens with Bidei Shemayim can happen in a split second. So it's impossible for it to happen simultaneously. But when we do things, we could do them nice and slow. And therefore, since we could do them nice and slow, we could make that it should happen, that two things should happen at the exact same moment. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos explains the Gemara differently. Tosfos explains that what's the difference between Bidei Shemayim and Bidei Adam? Something that happens with Bidei Shemayim, I don't have the luxury of being able to evaluate, I don't have the time and the luxury to evaluate if it happened at the exact same moment or it didn't happen at the exact same moment. But something that happens with Bidei Adam sometimes happens a little more slower. And therefore, maybe we have the ability to evaluate did it or didn't happen at the same moment. So Gemara begins with a number of very nice rayas. Toshma. It says, we know, we discussed this numerous times, the Mishnah says, Masechta Midas. Certain kabbonis, the blood, the Zrikas Hadam, had to be on the upper half of the Mizbeach. Certain kabbonis, the dam had to be done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. So Gemara said there was a Chuta Sikra. Chuta Sikra was there, Chayger Be'emtsa was in the middle of the Mizbeach, Lahavdil, to differentiate Be'dam Halyoinim or Be'dam HaTachtoinim. To differentiate between the blood that belongs on top and the blood that belongs on the bottom. Ask the Gemara, V'amrit, if we're going to say, E'efshel Tzamtzim B'dei Adam, that even B'dei Adam, we can't make sure that it's perfect. Zimnin, ask the Gemara, the Koyov Elyoinim Lamata, V'Tachtoinim Lamala. Maybe the Chuta Sikra is in the wrong place, and we're going to end up putting the blood in the wrong place. Answer the Gemara, the Marach Baparta, which means the Chuta Sikra, it's not the Chuta Sikra that's the issue. It's the issue that it should be on top or on bottom. So if we're careful that it should be, what's supposed to be on top is on top, and we're careful what's supposed to be on bottom is on bottom, so we don't care. It should be below the Chuta Sikra where we're safe on the bottom, and when it's on top, we should put it in a place that we're sure is the top. Tashma. So my tries are different. Midas Kalim and Midas Mizbeach. The Torah Kedosha is very specific about the size of the Mizbeach, of the size of the Kli HaMikdash. Another question is, if Yef Shalat Tzamtzim, that we're not able to do something perfectly, so how do we know that we made the Kalim the right dimension? Answers the Gemara, Shani Hosam, Rechmana Amar Ovid. The Torah tells us, Hashem told us to make the Kalim. Hashem told us to make the Mishkan. We have to do what we can do. Nichle. The Machlokes, we keep the next word. Hakubasam Yad Hashem Elayeskel. So in other words, what the Gemara is answering is that maybe we can't be perfect. We're human beings. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not ask of us to be perfect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked of us to do what we can do. So there's a fascinating two tshuvas from Moshe Feinstein. We know that the halacha is that the tefillin that we wear must be a perfect square. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch mentions the formula for the square, the formula itself is already not a perfect square. The formula itself is not perfect. So Rav Moshe says, what's going on? And they came to Rav Moshe and they asked him, there are all sorts of implements and instruments they could use nowadays to make a perfect square. Is somebody who makes batim obligated to buy all of those instruments? Is somebody obligated to have a microscope and check that his tefillin have a perfect square? So Rav Moshe, quoting this Gemara, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only asks of us to do what we can do. And we have to make the tefillin as square as possible. Nothing more. There's actually a fascinating tshuva from the Eretz Tzvi, from the Kozel Gavarov, on this issue. And he takes a very interesting approach. He says, if we're going to say that you have to use the instruments that are now available to make the tefillin a perfect square, and these instruments weren't available a couple hundred years ago, it turns out that the Gra were apostle tefillin, that our previous generations didn't wear kosher tefillin. How can we say that? And it's Yidua, it's well known, that somebody came to Chazanish with a microscope and offered to examine his tefillin if they're perfectly square, and the Chazanish refused. But, it's interesting. Ramosh in that tshuva says that he heard that the Briskerov did say that one should check the tefillin under a microscope. Usually not Ramosh's style to try to explain why the Briskerov said something. So he says, the Briskerov, says Ramosh, did not mean to say that you have to make a tefillin under a microscope. He was concerned that the people who made the batim weren't being as careful as they could be. So he said, I'm going to bring a microscope and I'm going to check. And it was only to make sure that they should do their job as well as possible. And actually, this concept is a miches chinuch. It's a miches chinuch. Because miches chinuch says, there's a pasuk in the Torah regarding the tyrus. Loisasaka miskantoi. We are now going to make tyrus. We want to make a perfume, an exact copy of the recipe that was used for the Ketairis, it's a lav. So ask the Meches Chinuch, how are you ever over the lav? If we're not perfect, so we're never going to make a perfect duplication. And if it's not a perfect duplication, so we're not over the lav. Says the Meches Chinuch, the same Teres that Al-Gemar gives. The Torah doesn't mean that it has to be perfectly the same. As long as it's close, and that's close enough, that's already the lav. And he says a very nice raya. Because when they made the Ketairis, and they had the formula, they're also human beings. They only made it as well as possible. And Rabbi Chanan says it even with a big alumnus. Rabbi Chanan says that we apply the concept of Esei Doichalai Sasei by eating. Right? That let's say there's a mitzvah Sasei to eat something, and there's a mitzvah Sasei not to eat it. Esei Doichalai Sasei. He says, but how could you be sure that you're not eating a drop more than you're supposed to? So what you mechuyif to eat? Let's say you mechuyif to eat a kazayis matzah. And eating that matzah involves a lav. Esedai chalaisa say you have to eat the matzah. But maybe we're only human beings. So we're only eating, we only have a right to eat a kazayis to be mekayim the mitzvah. Maybe eating a drop more than it. The answer is that the Torah told us to do what we can do. What's his raya? He says, because otherwise how do we ever know that we did a mitzvah? Maybe you ate less than you're supposed to. That's not such a great raya, because always be careful to eat more and you'll know that you're safe. Continues the Gemara. Toshma, Cholke Lishnayim, the halacha is that a kli cheres that becomes tamei, the only way that it loses the tumah is by breaking it. So says the Mishnah, Cholke Lishnayim, if you broke this kli cheres, then shove him into two pieces, and they're both exactly equal in size, shneim tameim, l'she'efsha l'tzamtzim. It's impossible to know which is the bigger and which is the smaller, so we have to be concerned that they're equal. So we see that it says clearly, Efshla Tzamtzim. Says the Mar, that isn't the Raya. Amar Afghanish, Shani Klicheris, Hoyal Vyeshbe Gumas. You can't make a straight crack on Klicheris. Ordinarily, it doesn't break a clean break. So something that doesn't break a clean break, clearly Efshla Tzamtzim. But that doesn't mean, says the Gemara, that in other areas, halacha, it could be Efshla Tzamtzim, but they are them.